The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's been a great week for Joaquin Buckley. All the changes that he made in his camp have paid off.
But guess what? They can't stop what is destined for me. It's already written in the stars, man. And I'm going to take what's mine, bro.
Joaquin Dumeza Buckley!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
And a five, and a four, and a three. No, I'm kidding. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Yes.
My dear friend Matt Serra and I are here. Looking forward to today's show. Joaquin Buckley, who I love watching. He's a really, really fun guy to watch. And Preacher Lawson, really funny comic. And I didn't realize until today that he trains MMA as well. He looks like he does. When you look at Preacher, you're like, yeah, he's in good shape. It's not surprising.
He has a fight. He had a fight, I should say.
Yeah.
We're going to watch clips of it.
Oh, I would love to see that. Yeah. Because I imagine it really does change your fear. Because I've only trained, and you know, Preacher and I are not in the same shape, even though I do train a little MMA.
I spoke to somebody, an old school, an OG black belt. OG black belt. And he said that you're training hard. And that when Jedi Mike gave you that stripe, that you really just lit up.
Yes.
I'm serious. It was David Chung. Do you remember? You know, David?
Oh, yeah. I love David. Sure.
I know David since I was 20 years old, and I will be 50 in June. So I know David 30 years. And he's a guy. I know it's fucking just demented. I'm talking to him yesterday, just catching up. And, you know, I'm like, yo, man, David, I know you so long. You were older than me. I'm going to be 50. Dude, he's 59.
Wow.
Like, I go, and how does David look?
Amazing. He looks like he's 30.
Dude, the guy never changed. He always looks the same, you know? But great guy, David Chung, black belt on the Henzo. And he's going to be opening his school, I believe, on 85th and Lexington?
Oh, yeah. Is David opening that?
David's going to be running that school, I heard.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, I told him that in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to be going to Menzo's to visit you.
I would love that, yeah. And I'm around now this week, next week. And, you know, it's funny. I got my he gave me a second stripe, and I don't even feel like I deserve it. And that night I went home, and I washed my gi, and the stripe was gone the next day. Like, my washing machine ate the stripe.
I still have one,
and I'm like, that's fine.
No. It doesn't work like that. You didn't get demoted from your washing machine. You understand? Put that thing back on, and you have it. If you didn't lose it, your skills didn't diminish because that fucking piece of tape fell off.
No. I don't mind not having it. I'm okay not having it.
No, put the goddamn thing back on.
Put it back on? Okay.
Don't be a sandbagger. Now, listen. This is the deal, Jimmy.
What's a sandbagger?
That's a person that's like, oh, you roll with him, you're like, wow, man. And he's really a purple belt, but he's like, he's wearing a blue belt.
No.
Right?
And I just train with the same guy every day. I train with Martin, who's a purple belt.
And I heard they're pushing you, and they're making you do a little bit more, and you're pushing you a little bit more out of your comfort zone, and you're trying.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot. You know, David doesn't bullshit me. It's great, Jimmy. It really is great for you because you get behind somebody, you can strangle them just as easy as me.
Man, no, I couldn't. And my chokes need work. But I'll get them to put that back on. I just didn't, you know, I just don't care because I'm not going to compete.
Can I give you a hint that my wife found out about those stripes? Because she, you know, we have kids. And
what?
You get nail polish and you put that on the stripes.
And it secures it a little bit?
It doesn't fall off after that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go. All those jiu-jitsu people out there. I lost the stripe. Put a little nail polish on that bitch, on your belt. Okay.
I just feel stupid asking, like, can I have my stripe back? I didn't want to go and ask.
I'll just say a stripe fell off. You know why you do that, though? Why? Because there's times that all right, Ian, get over here, you big freak. You deserve this fourth stripe. Meanwhile, he already had four, and you know, you're giving him another stripe. It's rough. There was a time, can I tell you something that's funny? It's really funny. Our guests get here, let us know. But, yeah. Hendo's like me. He's hysterical in a sense where he loves jiu-jitsu, but he's not the best with the belts. He has a lot of students.
Who's this?
Master Hendo Gracie.
Yeah.
So one time, a buddy of ours has a karate school in somewhere around the tri-state area. I don't want to make it too obvious. And he had Hendo down for a seminar. Now, this guy trained in the morning when John Danaher was still there, right? The our evil genius friend, John Danaher.
Yeah.
So John goes, look, this gentleman's due for his next belt. So Hendo goes, good, I'm going to do a seminar at his place. I'll do it then. So in front of all of this guy's students, right? I guess he wasn't wearing a gi that day. Here you go. A brown belt. All right. Isn't that beautiful? But guess what? Hendo, I'm already a brown belt. Hendo goes, my man, two browns equal all black. Hendo didn't know what the fuck. And then he goes to dad her. Why did you tell me the motherfucker's a brown belt? So anyway, listen, I've seen Hendo give out two purple belts before. Now, does it make him an awful person? Absolutely not.
No, he's just
like me. I am a forgetful person, and I'm too busy spreading positivity and love in jiu-jitsu, making good people dangerous.
Yeah.
Where that's the worst thing about me, then that's the worst thing about me. Anyway.
So they gave the guy his black belt.
Well, basically, yeah. Well, I mean, two brown belts. If you ever get two brown belts, that equals a black belt. Hendo just ran with it. And guess what? I bet it kept Hendo up at night. Not 1 second. He doesn't give it. Hendo's funny.
He doesn't seem like he would stress over that. Ah!
Hendo was fighting in the cage like 3 years ago. The guy's in his late 50s. It's fucking
great. Yeah. But yeah, I never can't, because I look at it like, I'm only going to do this type of training, and I know why I'm doing it. Like the guy who trains with me, the purple belt, who's very good, this kid Martin, he's going out to Vegas. He's doing like a tournament. Like, these guys really are in it. I'm just doing it so I don't get beaten up in a fucking on the boardwalk. Like, I just don't want to get my ass kicked. I'm never going to compete. I get tired too fast. I just want to not be humiliated in public.
Our guest, what's his name?
Joaquin Buckley or Preacher Lawson?
No, Preacher Lawson.
Yeah.
Preacher Lawson had an MMA fight, and he looked, I just saw him moving around on his Instagram. He looks like he moves nice. And he's a good striker, but he got tied in it, and on his own Instagram comments and stuff, like, he makes posts on his thing, like, man, this is when I really knew I was in trouble, like when he got tied. So I want to talk to him about, and he's obviously trains, but the difference between, sometimes guys, it's the first time they ever feel like how tired you could be. Like, that, I don't think people realize there's getting tired, and then there's getting tired. Like, in other words, ooh, I had a hard training, man, I'm breathing. But when you're in a fight and you might feel there's something wrong with you, how tired you're gonna be. Like you're like, yo, this ain't. Everything feels just like you can't move.
Yeah, yeah.
Adrenaline dump. It's a different feeling. Like,
and a guy's trying to kick your ass. And it's not a training partner where you can stop and take a breath. The guy's trying to hurt you.
You know what's funny about that? All you got to do is just do that. And you can get out of there. Or just cover up for an extra second. So it's a mind fuck because you don't want to give up. So I don't know. It's something else. I want to talk to him about that. He faced both of the biggest fears out there, fighting in a cage. It's a pretty big fear, I'd imagine. And, doing your stand-up comedy in front of people, that's a big fear. People, they get afraid of it. I know you're going to be like, no, it's not the same thing. There's no bodily harm usually involved, unless you're fucking Chris Rock. But, hey, the fact is people are afraid to be embarrassed in front of people.
That's what it is. It's funny how the fear of being punched in the face and like legitimately getting hurt is equated with this social thing we have where we're afraid of what other people will think of us. That's all it is. What will they think? And they are people who we usually don't give a fuck about to begin with. It's the human thing. I guess it's probably ingrained in us for nature, tribal, whatever. But like, people I don't care about at all. I was doing a set last night at the Comedy Cellar. I was doing very well. And there was two women up front, and one was just kind of stone-facing me. And I was just fucking ruining my, I was like, what the fuck? I was just so, I didn't say anything.
How was she throughout the whole thing? Like, was that just her face?
Just a, not enjoying me. But I didn't address it because she was not being, she's allowed to not enjoy me. You know, she's not obligated to laugh. But it's funny how, like, you just notice that. And this is a person I don't care about at all, but it was still on my mind. I'm like, why do I care what she thinks?
Maybe she just had a resting stone face.
And honestly, it might have been one of those things too. But there was a few really good lines and she gave me nothing. So I was like, eh, she doesn't like me.
Hey, even though Joaquin Buckley is fighting Vicente Luque instead of Sean Brady, who he was supposed to fight.
Luque, you mean, was supposed to fight him.
Wait, who was supposed to fight who? I'm confused. Luque was supposed to fight Sean Brady, or Joaquin Buckley was supposed to fight Sean Brady?
Oh, you might be right. Oh,
Luque was supposed to fight Sean Brady. My bad.
Oh, okay. I was right.
All right. All right. Well, this is very dangerous for him. Because what is his ranking, Joaquin Buckley? And what is Sean Brady's ranking? I'm assuming that Sean Brady is...
Let me look.
Way ahead of it. Buckley is not ranked at welterweight. Well, I mean, let me tell you, you got to give props for Luque.
You mean for taking the fight?
I think so. Did you ever see that highlight of Buckley? He did that matrix kickoff where the guy had his leg and he jumped in the air and he did a jumping back kick to the chin.
Yeah.
You seen that?
I was watching it when it happened. It was amazing.
Can't unsee that.
No, that was a great, great.
What would you do when you've seen it? That picture, you just seen it.
What?
Why do this? What'd you do?
I do this.
You're the girl in the audience. You're the stone-faced bitch in the audience.
No, I do this. Like, I nod because that's what I would have done.
Nod like exactly what you would have done.
That's what I was thinking.
My little bird. You're going to need wings to get up that high. He jumped up off that floor. Like he had like had wires attached to him. If that was in a movie, you'd say bullshit. Did you watch Roadhouse?
No, someone else asked me that too. It might have been you, actually. I did not.
I have like 15 minutes left of it. Sometimes my wife, I'm watching something at the end. My wife's like, you can't stay. I go, geez, we got like less than 20 minutes. Like, I'll get home. 20 minutes, I could use the bathroom and be in bed already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, something tells me Jake Gyllenhaal is going to win this thing. But Connor is basically, I think he does great in it. And you know me, I'm going to call it.
Yeah, sure.
But the good news is I think he did phenomenal. And not bad news, but the only other thing is I think he's just playing himself.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times the guy's not an actor, so that probably. No,
well, I mean, like what it is I get confused with the real life, and because I'm thinking of all the crazy scenes. I go, I like the part when he's on the boat. And then there's a part when I don't want to be spoilers, when he goes in the bar with a golf club. And he's like, Dalton, Knox is here. Yeah. And I can't do an accent. But then there's another part when he takes a trolley and he throws it into a bus. That happened in real life. But listen, it gets confusing what it bleeds over. So basically, he's not doing Hamlet. He's just basically being Connor. And he does it well.
He does it well, yeah. I mean, look, a lot of guys don't do a good job even when they're playing themselves. So the fact that he's able to pull it off.
He does.
Good for him, yeah. He seems pretty confident. Yeah,
he seems what that word is. That word is charisma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does have it, and he's a confident guy.
Yeah.
So good for him. I'm looking forward to speaking to Joaquin. I was also, Matt, as we're chit-chatting, even though it's not happening yet, but I was looking up UFC 300. Just at what an
we got a weekend card this weekend.
Oh, I know. But I was I'm just spitballing it. Spit. And I'm thinking the opening fight of the early prelims.
Okay,
Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. That's how fucking stacked that card is. Literally, both former champions.
I want the best for Cody. I want Cody to win. I like Cody a lot.
I do too. He's a great guy. Do you know what the second fight of the early prelims is? Jim Miller against Bobby Green.
Dude, that's going to be an insane night, bro.
There's not a fight you can miss on this card. You cannot miss a fight.
I'm going to talk about this card with you in detail. You know what I'm talking to, I'm going to talk to you about this card? Did I tell you?
Wait, let me guess. Hold on. Let me guess.
Did I tell you this already?
No.
Why? Well, you didn't guess, though. You just said
no. Oh, you're going to talk about this with Dana because you're friends.
I am friends with Dana. But no.
Who are you going to talk about this with?
You don't have to, I can just tell you.
Diddy.
Yeah, he's making that one phone call to call me. Listen, this is it. I am doing the Joe Rogan Experience again. I'm going to be gone next Wednesday. I'll be in Texas. Remind me to call down to her because I want to do that Brazilian barbecue with him again. I am going to – I don't see him often, but the last time I was there, I had dinner with Danaher, and I'm going to do that again. I like that guy, and I miss him.
Yeah, I've only met him that one time. I don't know him.
Oh, dude, you know what it is, man? I like to reminisce. And me and John spent many times at Burritoville, at places in the city, just getting something to eat after class and talking about just different things in the future. Now, here we are in the future.
Sure.
Kind of weird.
Like, I'm looking at it. It's weird, yeah.
We talk about everything from back then, the crazy days, to now. And what's nice is we're both doing well.
We're both doing great. You know,
I mean, John is one of the most unique and sought-after minds of jiu-jitsu in the world, which is weird. It's the world, you know? And me, shit, I like that fun. Listen.
Matt, you're both legends.
Well.
You are. You're both jiu-jitsu legends.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.
And that's coming from a white belt.
Thank you. But you got your hands with your fists. Oh, Jimmy, well, I am heavy-handed. I mean, you don't got to embarrass me. Jimmy, when are you
Who are you going to talk to about 300? John Danaher, are you saying? Or Rogan?
No, I'm going out. I'll talk about it with Danaher. But I'm going out there and I'm doing the Rogan show again, the Joe Rogan Experience with my buddies that were on last time, Dean Thomas and John Rollo, big John Rollo. So we have a good time, man. We had a good time last time. So I think that we will have a good time this time.
I'm sure you will. And yeah, we haven't heard from Joaquin. No big deal. Maybe it's just be Preacher Lawson. Guys get time zones fucked up. They get all of these things fucked up.
Before Preacher gets in here.
He's a very funny stand-up, by the way. He's a really good... What's that?
Did you see him before?
I've seen clips of him for years. He was on, I think it was America's Got Talent. And he's just he's a good stand-up. He's a clean comic, too. So you can go see him with family. You can bring your wife, your wife's mother. You know, that's probably why he does so well, because you can go back and see him with, you know, you don't have to worry about him ruining a relationship.
Like you. Well, you take the whole family to see you.
I'm a ruiner of relationships. That's what I do.
That is what you do. Yeah. Listen, can I tell you something?
I'd love to hear it.
Without being a little too bold.
What?
I could be bold.
Yeah, we're very good friends.
Thank you. I feel that the next 125-pound women's champion is fighting this weekend. Erin Blanchfield. That she will be the next champ. That's what I feel. I don't think this is going to sound crazy that I'm saying that. Could just remember that I am saying that for the people that are watching and they want to timestamp this thing. Wow, Matt, Sarah. I hate to do the third person thing. I don't like doing the third person thing.
But no, Jim doesn't like when you do it either.
But I feel that Erin Blanchfield will be the next champion. Her jiu-jitsu is so on point, and her stand-up is solid, where she has a good idea of a good feel for range. Her strikes are on point. They're not. It's not sloppy striking, and she blends it together so well with her shots and her clinches and her takedowns and her jiu-jitsu is just, man, there's no giving up position. It's very pinpoint. I'm taking you down. I'm passing your guard. I'm submitting you or I'm mounting you. You know what I mean? She's got a clean game, man. I can't wait to see. And then listen, she's fighting a killer this weekend, though.
Thoreau, yeah.
Yeah, Thoreau is nasty. Manon Thoreau is nasty. And she hasn't lost yet in the UFC. And wow, look at their records. One's 11-1 outside the UFC, 6-0 in the UFC.
Yeah,
that was Ferro.
And
you look at Erin; she's 12-1 and 6-0 same in the UFC.
They're tremendously well matched,
dude. Very evenly as far as records, but different when it comes to styles. Because Erin, even though she has good stand up, she's more of a jiu-jitsu wizard, and Ferro is just, she's just nasty with all her limbs with the strikes. Let's pick.
Okay, buddy. Being that you are up by 4, which really...
Well, let's look at that for a second.
I'd rather not.
I don't like it. I like my face on it.
You're a braggart, and you're up by 16 points.
You have 7 wins and 12 losses.
I do.
I have 11 wins, 8 losses. And just so you know, and this is back when my head was bigger, that's what you got to look at now.
Yeah. It's like you're taunting. Ah, I can hear. I don't like it.
Sorry. Jimmy, I'm going to pinch your little cheeks. Sorry, Jimmy. Hey, I'm going to go right into this. Erin Blanchfield, 2nd round sub.
Woo! See, now I really like Erin Blanchfield, so I want to pick her, but you picked her. Let me see.
Go ahead. Get another
one. I know she just beat Rose.
I'm fucking around. What?
Yeah, I mean, Ferro's winning all decisions, except for Ricci.
Dear Rose. Ooh. Jimmy. We could be heroes, me and you. Every day, people make every day. What?
3rd round sub for Erin Blanchfield. I probably would have went 2nd round, but I'll go 3rd round sub. Erin Blanchfield.
Oh, shit. All right. All right, good. Good for you. All right, I picked 2nd round sub, though. All right. Vicente Luque versus Joaquin Buckley. Man, oh, man, oh, man.
What a good fight. What a fight.
I know who I'm picking.
Who?
Well.
I'll tell you who I'm picking.
You go first. I know. I got mine already. I got it already chambered up. Ready? That's not even how you do it.
Vicente Luque. Decision.
The thing about Vicente Luque, man, is he dangerous?
Very dangerous.
Now you picked him by decision.
Yes, and I know he has submissions and he has knockout power. Yes.
Let me take a look at him.
The Buckley's also got heavy hands, and so I think that Luque is not stupid. You wonder if he'll be a little more cautious fighting an unranked guy. Because, again, this is a tremendous chance for Buckley. So is Luque a little more careful? Because beating Buckley is great, but it doesn't put him any higher or closer to a championship. Losing to him hurts him.
Now, listen. Please listen.
Sure.
Vicente Luque was getting ready for a different guy, Sean Brady. You understand?
Yeah. Sure.
Since Joaquin cut down, he's on a 2-fight winning streak since he cut down.
Yeah. Yep. He has a lot of power.
So, 2nd round knockout, Buckley. And I wasn't even.
Okay.
How about this? How about me changing my pick? Because I have something, Jimmy, that they dropped very late in life for you, but they finally dropped. I got nuts. I'm sorry. Jimmy, first of all, I'm sorry. That was rude.
Yes.
Let me take
sure
that.
Was.
I made my pick and I kind of took a shot at you, which was very,
very hurtful.
Like me. I'm sorry, Jimmy.
You're saying hurtful.
Jimmy, I'm sorry. I picked Joaquin Buckley by 2nd round stoppage. That's what I'm saying, man.
I'll take Luque by decision. We're both saying we respect Buckley's power, and I think Luque respects it enough. And I don't think he's going to stay away, but I mean, I think he's going to be smart enough to avoid being dropped by Joaquin. Now, interesting fight. Third, let's do three. I got to catch up. We're going to do Chris Weidman against Bruno Silva. Chris has dropped a couple, actually 4 out of 5, and so has Bruno Silva. So they're both kind of in a position of really needing a win here. Chris fought in August of 23 against Tavares, and they both lost decisions. Well, he lost to Magomedov, Bruno Silva, in October.
Second round, head and arm choke, Chris Weidman. I haven't seen him for this camp. I haven't even really spoke to him much, but I do love Chris Weidman. And, you know, everyday people make everyday.
Weidman decision.
What?
Weidman decision.
I was singing We Could Be Heroes.
Okay.
I don't know who sings it. It's a girl. Can we look that up? We could be heroes. Me and you, Jimmy.
You know what would make me a hero? If I was able to stop the singing. If I could put an end to the singing, I would be a hero to the Unfiltered Army.
No. I don't agree. Yo, we got Preacher Lawson coming in.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
If he comes, I mean, we already got stood up once. Hurtful.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Listen, I got new mats put in today. Thanks to all my guys that helped me put that in.
Can I tell you the problem with new mats, Matt? They're slippery. And they upstairs at Hensler's, there's a little gap in a couple of them. And you got to push them together a little bit. And they're slip. They're getting better, though. But when you first put them in, I was sliding all over the fucking place.
Yeah, I don't know what he's using over there. It's probably something nice. I'm good getting mats. Nice Fuji mats. And they are nice.
How old were your other mats? How long have you had them?
Oh, shoot, man. I had them for a minute, like the kids say, a long time. Some of them are raggy. I had some newer ones put in because of some damage a while back. So some of them are worse than others, but it's time.
Was it more than 3 years?
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, those mats are old.
How much does a one mat cost?
I'd have to look at my books.
Is it in the hundreds of dollars?
I have a comic book.
Oh, all right.
It's my kids. It's not my kids.
I'm going to be yours. 50. Okay.
This one's War of the Bounty Hunter.
Ooh. Wow. Preacher Lawson mercifully is in the Thank You, Preacher Lawson, who's just saved me a comic book description.
I was joking around. Let's get him in.
What great timing he has. I'm very happy he's here.
I want to talk to him about everything.
Yeah, me too. I had no idea he trained. So
did you see his comedy before this?
Oh, yeah, again, I've seen clips of him online. I think he was on the radio show. I do too. He's a very good comic.
Fight.
What's that? When did he fight? Well, I'll ask him. I'm asking him.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, Preacher, how are you?
I'm great, man. Just found out. I'm good. How you doing?
What, you got some good news, Preacher? Is that what you said?
No, I mean, you know, I was going to say just found out I'm not the father. God is good. But I don't know how good of news that is.
You jump right in. Yo, we weren't even prepared for that, Preacher.
That's great news.
But hey, man, congrats.
Thanks, man.
Now, a comedian, and I just watched some of you moving around, dude. I'll tell you. I don't know how your ground game is, but I'm a flat-footed fucker. You can move. How long have you been training for?
About 4 years. I think it's been 4 years. Yeah, 2009. Yeah, 4 years.
What made you?
5 years.
5 years. Now, and what did you? What did, made you want to start training? And what did you train in?
I started training. Oh, that's me. That's your boy.
Yeah,
that's your boy right there. I was, but yeah, I started training because you know I missed my ex, and I was like, what if she had a boyfriend? And then that's all I needed, really. And so I went to go train, and I wanted a new workout too. I feel like going to the gym is like I feel like it's. I just feel like it's boring, so I wanted to learn something new. And so I went to this gym right here, which is Uprise. It's an MMA gym. So I started training like MMA. I used to be heavier in the jiu-jitsu. But then, I used to be heavier in the jiu-jitsu, and I just started striking more. But
you had a very Bobby Green type of foot movement. Your hands are down. You're kind of moving. It's very Bobby Greenish, and but your head movement is great. And it's so funny. A girlfriend, did you want to get out like bad feelings or aggression or sadness or whatever? You trained?
No, I just wanted to in my brain, I was like, if I could beat up her new boyfriend, she'll love me back.
You know,
in my brain, it's not a real thing.
Yeah, sure.
But in my head, you know how stuff play, your movies play, and she's like, this is my boyfriend. And I'm like, and then she's like, oh my gosh, I should be with you again. So, I really, the main reason was because I wanted just a different workout besides going to the gym. So I started rock climbing, I was a huge fan of that, which made when I did jiu-jitsu, it made my grip like so much more, like it was really, really cool. And I just felt, I've always loved MMA. I've watched MMA since, I remember when Anderson Silva was on, when he first did his first fight against Chris Leben, and I was like, man, that black dude good. And
I fought on that card, bro. It was it's when I won the Ultimate Fighter. It was when I was backstage seeing him knock out Chris Leben. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow, that brings me back. Now, what made you, there's one thing about training and you want a different workout, but there's another thing with taking a fight. What made you, how long were you training when you took the fight? And tell me about that experience. What made you want to do that?
I've been training a minute. I had been training a minute. So like I trained for like a year before I even like started regularly sparring. Like, so it took a second. I just dabbled in it.
Were you doing stand-up at this point?
Yeah, I've been doing stand-up the whole time. That's another reason I couldn't spar, because sparring's on Friday and then I would be on the road.
Right.
Then I would go on the road and I would train at different gyms, and different gyms would teach me different things. And it was really cool. I feel like I was learning faster because, there's so many different gyms and they have different techniques. And some people would say the same exact thing to, a technique that it was my coach was explaining, but they said it differently. And I was like, that's what it is. So, I did my first point kickboxing match, maybe a year and a half in. I did my first MMA match. That was 2 years ago. So two and a half years.
All right. Tell me about the pre-fight nerves. How was that?
Oh, I wasn't afraid at all. I was like, I'm gonna kill this dude. I was so arrogant, but I had to lose. You said what?
I said, look at you. You're dancing. You're having a good time, man.
I was not.
Oh, you're showing your ass a little. You're look at you. Oh, dude, you're an entertainer.
Yeah.
Talk about not nervous. No, dude, this is worth the money alone, just watching you sit here dance. Now, what happens in this fight? Now, from what I heard, it was going well, and then you got tired. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, the camp was horrible. First off, this dude might have had a bad training camp too, but I was set up to do another fight. I was supposed to fight 174 pounds. It was, my fight was supposed to be next week. And then I was 174 pounds. So all I had to do was lose 4 pounds in a week. Yeah, I was like going in on this.
Yeah, you had your knees.
It started nice.
Yeah. But this is what happened was I never tried to hurt anybody. I've never even punched anybody outside of sparring.
So
when I hit him and it looked like I rocked him, I was like, I got him. And so I went as hard as I could and I forgot to breathe. So I was like holding my breath the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was gassed. I mean, I was already gassed. I was already gassed and I somehow That's me.
You. At this moment, he knew he effed up.
Yeah.
Was it a little bit of an adrenaline dump?
I don't think it was an adrenaline dump because I wasn't feeling like overexcited. I wasn't feeling scared. I was really calm. I honestly was so confident that I was going to be, I thought I was going to be super. Yeah, that was a thumbs up. I was lying. I could not breathe, but I was like, if I give a thumbs up, he's going to see it. And he'll let, and he did, and he stopped squeezing as hard because he was like, okay. But I couldn't breathe. He didn't have it fully in, but I was like, if he's squeezing, like,
yeah, because he can strangle you with one arm. He can.
Yeah, yeah. That's I would.
Hey, well, tell me about the experience. What did, not to be like that, but what did you learn? But some people do not know what tired is until they felt something like this. Man. Is that the most tired you've been in your life, type of thing?
In my entire life. I was tired in the first round. We had to do two more rounds, and I thought he was going to finish me. I went to the round, and I was like, he's gonna knock me out, or he's gonna submit me in the second round. I was already that tired. Then I somehow made it to the final bell. So I didn't even know you can be that tired, but I did feel like I found something in my. I wasn't a quitter.
You didn't take the easy way out, or you didn't take it out when the ref asking you for the thumbs up. Yeah. You could have got out of it, and you didn't. Is it weird too, like when you're, because you said you never really tried to hurt anybody in sparring, when you really are trying to hurt somebody and they're able to withstand it, this guy's a tough guy, he's a fighter, and I'm hitting him hard, and he's still here. Does that do anything to you? Is that kind of a shock?
Yeah, I think that, you know how I said I wasn't like nervous or like scared before the fight? I wasn't. The only time I got scared is when I was tired and I was looking across the cage and he was like, I just got here. And I'm like, oh, man. That's when I got scared. It's kind of like terrifying, but in my mind, I'm like, just act like you ain't tired. You know,
now this is a legit question for both you guys being comedians. How many comedians, honestly, you think started taking some self-defense MMA lessons after Will Smith got smacked Chris Rock? You think, I'm honest. Do you think some people think they got involved? They got a little nervous.
I think they started doing it when Joe Rogan got popular.
Rogan was more of an inspiration, I think, to people than Chris getting slapped.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't think I think even an MMA guy might not have been taken off guard by Will Smith, because I think Chris thought he was doing a bit. Like, he didn't think that he was really going to hit him. You don't think the biggest star on earth is going to slap you with the Oscar. So you're expecting some kind of a bit. So you probably wouldn't get into a defensive stance with Will Smith coming and what you would think was being fucking around.
Yeah, I would love for Will Smith to slap me.
I would too.
That'd be great. I would stop doing comedy. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm good.
Yeah, you are good at that, for sure.
Did you fight just to kind of test yourself too and go like, I really want, because it is a scary thing to have a physical confrontation. And what we do is a different, there's that weird barrier between you and an audience. Was it something that you just wanted to see if you could do it, or is it something you want to do again?
I was just doing it to work out, and then I felt like I was really good. You know, I've never been like dropped, or like I never had a black eye or nothing like that. You know, I had a bloody nose one time, but I've always felt like, you know, I've been good enough to not like get knocked out. So I was like, okay, so someone that's been doing it around the same time I've been doing it, you know, that should be a good fight for me. So I just wanted to test myself, and I would love to do it again. I'm not gonna do it for free, but I would love to do it again. That was a long time ago. I've learned so much from that fight. I've done Muay Thai matches since then. And so I haven't done any MMA, but yeah, I learned a lot. I feel like I learned more in that fight than I've learned just in that amount of time in life. Like I just learned, take your time and breathe and just like, you know, I learned so much.
Yeah. So, you know, I believe it. I tell my students, and they compete in the local grappling tournaments that comes to town. These guys are jumping in tournaments. I tell them, from white belts to whatever belts, I go, look, each time you go into one of those, it's the equivalent of a few months of training because it's so intense. I go, guys, you notice how you could train here for a half an hour and, you know, you're breathing. You do a 5-minute match, you guys are dead. You're tired. Like, what's the intensity? It's not, nothing changes. The gravity's not different in that fucking gymnasium. Nothing's different there. The leverage is not different. But you're getting exhausted, man, because why? It's so intense. And an MMA fight is even more so. So it is a crazy learning experience, you know?
The level of tired I get just rolling. Like, I have bad cardio and I'm fucking, you know, I got side fat. And, you know, I've never had good cardio. But the I'll sometimes be so exhausted after like 5 minutes of rolling. I don't know how anybody actually does this professionally. Like, you have a new respect for guys that make a living doing that, when I can't do it for more than 5 minutes with a guy who's not even trying to submit me. He's a purple belt who's helping me. Like, if he was trying to submit me, I would be tapped immediately. So, yeah, it's a newfound respect for it. Does it change the way you address the audience at all? Do you feel any different in front of the audience or with potential threats from the crowd?
Oh, no, I don't think my crowd isn't even like threatening. I got a bunch of families that come to my show.
Nice people. Yeah.
Jimmy said you're clean, man. He says you have like, I heard, I'm not a comedian, but I heard it's a lot harder to be clean and good.
To be really good and clean is harder. Yeah.
I think that dirty is just funny, you know? So I think that, you know, just to find a way to, you know, be funny, cleaner, you know, maybe it doesn't seem harder to me because that's what I've been doing the whole time I've been doing stand-up. But funny is funny. Hopefully people leave my show, don't even realize. That's what I want. I don't want people to be like, clean. I want people just to laugh. I opened for, I don't know, Jim Norton, he probably doesn't remember, but I opened for him at Side Splitters in Tampa. And it was every show was like sold out, and then I took pictures for him, and then he paid me afterwards. And
that's oh my god! Happened.
I remember him giving me like $100 to take. I don't know if you what is out there now. I already said it, but to do this.
Wow!
I was like, it's great, and I never forgot that.
Oh, good, good. I'm so glad it wasn't that asshole Norton stiffed me. That'd be the worst.
No. I mean, he gave me $100 to take pictures. I was like, what? And so, yeah.
That's a great gig, by the way. I'm doing that again in October. The Tampa Side Splitters.
I love that place. They're awesome.
Great club, old club.
Rachel, when did you know, one, that you could actually make a living out of this? Well, that's it. When did you know that you could actually make a living out of this? I mean, that you were good and you could make a living out of this? Because that's the biggest thing. You know, like, shit, man. I mean, when somebody says, oh, I'm a comedian, and you tell that to maybe a girl at the bar or something, they're probably like, all right, this guy's either going somewhere or he's fucking, you know what I mean? It's almost like a fighter. Yeah. It's like they either take it or they don't. So how did you know, like, you could make it, like, as a comedian?
Yeah, I knew that it took me, like, I mean, I guess it has stints. Like, there's times where I'm like, I can do it and I can't do it. But I think I was, when I was like, oh, I think I can for sure do this, I was like 6 years in. I was 6 years in and I was like, okay, if I actually tried, I think I could, you know, make it as a comedian. That's when I decided to move to LA. And then, you know, things started happening. Then when I got off, you know, America's Got Talent, that was my first big TV show. And then that's when I was like, oh, I can make money. Like, I was not expecting to, like, you know, make money off it. I mean, the year before that I was hosting for Jim Norton. So it was like, it was really cool. It was really good. 8 years.
And isn't it weird too? Like, one day, it just all of a sudden you're complaining about travel or whatever. And like, and then you're like, oh my God, this is my life. Like, I really am. This really is my job. Like, this is not me dreaming anymore. I'm bitching about something at work, and this is my life. Like, I this is what I do for a living.
Yeah. I have to catch myself sometimes because, let's be honest, it is exhausting. I mean, I think me being exhausted, like being on the road, I think about like MMA fighters, or I think about like basketball players, or I think about just other like athletes or just other jobs that have to fly all the time. And I actually have a little bit more respect for them after, you know, because this is like, even though it is exhausting, it's the best job ever. I mean, it's the best job. I mean, I would be exhausted and complaining if I was working at Red Lobster still, you know, but now I'm exhausted. I'm complaining about a job I love and it pays well. So
problems. They call them luxury problems. Yeah. But they're nice to have, but it does mean that you're really doing it when the things about this job bug you, like the things about any job. Like, and you're on tour right now. And by the way, you're a really good stand-up, man, a really funny stand-up. And your second special, My Name is Preacher, just came out on YouTube, which honestly is it's really the smart way to do it because anybody in every country can see it. There's no times to watch it. People can just open the computer and watch. You can be in 20 different states. So just to let people know, PreacherLawson.com, if you want to see Preacher, who is a really, really legit funny stand-up.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome.
You're welcome. Yeah. And what were we just talking about? I just wanted to mention to plug in. I forget. We were just talking about, touring it on the road. You know, it's funny. I just did 12 days away and I never do any. I do 3 days. I come back. I do radio and I go back out. I hate being away for more than a week. Do you take a bus and just go out or how do you do it?
I mean, usually I do what you do. I do the three, three or four shows, 3 or 4 days, and then I'm back, and 3 or 4 days I'm back. And, but this, you know, this year has been a lot of like gone for 2 weeks, gone for 3 weeks. You know, I'm about to like now I'm leaving tomorrow and I'll be back in like 2.5 weeks. So yeah, only for a couple of days and I'm gone again. So, I mean, there we go, baby.
Yeah,
there we go.
Wow, that's a lot of shows.
Yeah,
I don't got any kids. I don't have any kids. I don't have a girlfriend. So I'm like, what am I gonna be doing? You know,
that's the best time to do it, man. You're not gonna feel anything, man. Like, that is so great. That is great. Like when I went to the Ultimate Fighter House, if I had kids when I did that for 6 weeks, I don't think I'd be the same thing. So I mean, you're traveling, you're making money. Do you ever feel sometimes when I used to travel a lot, whether it's for fights or seminars? You ever feel like, and I know guys talked about this before, comedians, you kind of feel like a drifter, right? Like you're in and out of that town. You don't really know many people. Yeah. And it's kind of it's a little odd sometimes, no?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you looking for the word lonely, but you don't want to say it?
Lonely. Yeah, no, it could be, right? I don't know if like you're traveling with anybody. It could be, but it's strangely like it's rewarding, especially after your show or, in my case, after a fight or a seminar, but it is a little lonely. How do you feel on being on the road so much?
Yeah, I do feel that. I do feel like it's incredibly lonely, but then I'll hang out with someone and I'm like, you know what? I'm all good. Like, I just like, sometimes I'm like, I forgot I like being lonely, you know? But I think it's good to have that for me. I like the good and the bad. I know it sounds weird, but I like the good and the bad or the lonely and the, you know, I like a little mix. When I was dating, my girlfriend, when I first started going on tour, it was nice. It was nice to be gone. And then I see her, I miss her, you know?
Yeah.
And then I leave and I miss her. I'm like, oh, good to see you again. But then it's like people that work a lot. And then when COVID happened, they stuck in the house. They're like, what, this is what you like? You know, so, I mean, I like being on the road. It does get lonely, but I got my routine, you know?
Are you a good boyfriend on the road? Like when you're, cause I'm married and I'm actually really good now, but the first 25 years of my career, I mean, I was just a hunk of shit. I mean, just a terrible boyfriend, trying to get laid, hitting, and then after a while, have you had that temptation when you were with somebody?
Yeah, you know what? That was part of the reason I left. I was actually I think I'm a great boyfriend, and I think every girl I've ever dated has been a great girlfriend. But I remember, you know, I remember people like that was always a thought, like, you know, you got to get out your system. You got to get out your system, which I, for me personally, I think is pretty. You're not going to get out your system.
No.
You know, like if you're attracted to women, you're always going to be attracted to women. Like it doesn't like leave. You're not going to get to a certain number. You're like, oh, God, I'm good now.
I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, it makes it worse. You know, because you're like, oh, you do that thing? You know, like, and so it's just, you know, I've been mostly single when I've been on the road. But when I had a girlfriend, yeah, it was cool.
Shit, Preacher, you're living the dream.
Yeah, you really are. Next,
do you have any goals to like get into movies and acting and stuff like that, or no?
Yeah, it'd be awesome, man. I don't think they like guys with dreads, but you know, name a comedian, name an actor with dreads.
Don't think. Well, I mean, I don't know. I just saw a new Star Wars trailer and they got some Jedis with dreads and shit. It's a new time now. New world.
They won't put aliens before they give someone with dreads.
Yeah, older guys sometimes develop, get dreads, but they didn't have, like, Wayne. Does Wayne Brady have dreads now? Or
no, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
No.
Somebody has dreads. Didn't have them.
Rappers and football players.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe you're right.
Yeah. And technically, the Predator from those Predator movies, he rocks a kind of a hairstyle. It's an alien type ass. I'm not saying, you know.
Yeah.
Got some hairdo going.
No, I would love to get in movies and stuff, man. I've been in a couple things, and I did. I was on this a sitcom called Connecting, and I had dreads. That was in 2020. And did y'all watch it? That's why they canceled it, because no one watched it. But it was, I would love to get in movies. I would love to act and stuff. I mean, this is the heaviest I've ever been. So, I mean, I've been in that jam. So I got to be like a superhero or something. You know what I'm saying?
Man, Bishop from X-Men, live action, right there. Bishop from X-Men. That should be I'm a nerd. I know all about this. Nobody knows who I'm talking about.
All right. Hey, Matt, we got Joaquin Buckley had a scheduling mix-up. He's in the waiting room, so.
What?
Oh, dope. Tell him I said, what's up, man? I watch his stuff.
Yeah, he's great. We'll talk to him for a few minutes. Tell me, he's got a fight on Saturday. Look, man, you're a really good comic, and I'm happy to see how well you're doing. New special is called My Name is Preacher on YouTube, and it's just Preacher Lawson on YouTube, and go to preacherlawson.com for your dates. And a lot of your tickets are selling really, really well, so you sell out everywhere. So just go to get tickets. Very, very good.
Thank you so much. I'm big fans of both of y'all. I was trying not to nerd out, but you know, I just want to say thank you for your time.
Thanks. We'll see you again, Preacher. Thanks, buddy.
Nice to meet you, man.
Take care.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That was great. Let's get Joaquin in here.
Yeah, because I would say normally we'll do it another day, but his fight is Saturday.
Dude, we give his.
I know.
You're a taker.
Well, let's bring in who we love.
Oh, Joaquin.
We are fans. And I had his Wikipedia open. Preacher really is a funny stand-up. If you get a chance to watch him, Matt. I should ask him about being a vegan. He's a vegan, too. All right.
Huh?
That he's a vegan.
My friend has sailed.
I know.
I like meat. I don't want to be a vegan.
No.
Look at these money bags. What are these money bags? Is that all money of the night? Is that all fight of the nights?
I think those are bonuses or something. Yeah, it's a new way of showing us that someone has been bonused. All right. Are you bringing him in, Jake?
Yeah, what's going on? There he is.
Ah, there he is. Okay.
Ah, Joaquin.
How are you?
Yeah. How y'all want me?
Anyway you feel comfortable.
Yeah, whatever makes you.
But now you're making us both dizzy.
That's better. Okay. How you feeling?
Man, we feeling good. We're feeling like I'm about to make some money. So, yeah. That's always nice.
Joaquin, this isn't exactly short notice, right? You had a little bit of time for this.
Had plenty enough time. People don't even realize that I was training for this fight in December. So I had, they can call me Mystic Master. You know what I mean? Everybody's talking about Mystic Mac. You know what I mean? I was Mystic Master because I called the pullout for Ian Gary and Vicente Luque. And I told Sean Shelby, hit me up if you need me, but he didn't, you know? And then they end up making another fight for Vicente with Sean Brady for March. So I was like, all right, whatever. But I made sure to stay training. I made sure to stay in the gym. And soon enough, Sean Brady pulled out, and they came calling on me. So look at us.
You're feeling good at welterweight, man. You're doing phenomenal.
Hey.
This looks better. I mean, it's not that you can't hang with those guys at 85, but, dude, you look great. How do you feel? You look
good. I feel good. Just checked the weight. I'm about 179 right now, so just 10 pounds up right now. And The weight is coming off good. Sweating well. Eating right now, eating the PI little food. You know what I'm saying? Got my little chicken salad with the garlic butter herb, you know, so they feeding us pretty good. But other than that, yeah, yes, sir.
What motivated you to drop down? Did you feel
Come on, man. Getting knocked out. Nigga, that's what motivated me. Yeah. Big ass boy.
Yeah. All right, well, that's honest. I mean, a lot of guys don't have that type of an honest answer, but I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, we keep it a buck, you know. But just in all reality, you know, my whole career, I've been a 170 fighter. Like, I started off as an amateur at 170. I started my pro career at 170. And I didn't start fighting at 185 because I couldn't find any fights at welterweight. And, you know, when I got the opportunity to fight at 185 and, you know, and I knocked a couple guys out, I was like, shit, cool. I actually feel fresh right here. But it's just levels to this game, you know. Yeah. And the guys that, you know, I lost to, unfortunately, whatever, at 185, it just showed me, you know, not saying that they're more talented or more skillful than me. They just had a size advantage, you know. And so I just learned from that. It was like, yeah, I don't want to give anybody any type of advantage, whether that's size or whether, you know, just even technique or skill wise. So.
Right. Well, things being equal, if a guy is bigger, a guy is bigger. Like, you know what I mean? Exactly. It is what it is. So you must be really happy that you dropped back down and it's going well.
Yeah, it's going real good. 2-0 in the UFC. So I guess I'm like Sean O'Malley. I'm undefeated out here. Yeah.
And this is huge. Listen, you got the right dance partner this weekend. I mean, Vicente Luque, he's good on the floor, but he likes to stand up, man. He does. Isn't that what you're looking for? I mean, do you want a guy looking to grapple you? I mean, you're standing up. It's not that you don't have a ground game, but it's so dynamic. How does it feel when a guy is going to be, okay, let's throw some strikes?
It feels good. It feels like I can go out there and do some real fun things. I can show a lot of unique techniques that I work into the gym. And because Vicente is going to be there, and he's going to try his best, you know, to try to knock me out, which going to leave openings for him to get hit as well. So this is going to be a fun, interesting matchup, man. So the UFC didn't really put on for everybody for this one. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And what do you hope if things go well against Luque? And I'm not asking you for a call out at this point, but if you win against Luque, what do you think the next step for you is? Like, how much higher do you want to go?
I got a major call out I'm finna make, you know.
You do?
I'll give it to y'all, but I got a major call out that I'm going to make, you know, and it's somebody real close to home. So yeah, I can't wait.
So you do have I think it's smart to do it because again, it's there's so many, we talked the other day about this. There's so many of you guys are great fighters that what makes it interesting for fans is two guys who actually want to fight each other. Because there's so many talented people in the UFC now. Being good alone is not always enough.
Yeah. It's never enough. You know, if you got a name, if you got something to say, go ahead and say it, you know, don't just keep waiting. And just like how I got this opportunity, the only reason why I got this opportunity, because I spoke about it and I spoke on it. And they said, okay, hey, Joaquin asked for it, give him what he want. You know, so let's get it.
I have a name right now. I'm not trying to get out of you the name.
You ain't trying to get nothing started.
I'm not trying to get out of you. I had one name and then I thought of another guy and they just fought. I go, wait a minute. I'm just picturing in my head you standing across from you, popping up and down, is MVP. What about that? What about that?
What
did
about
I hit nail on the fucking head or not?
Man, that'd be beautiful. That'd be beautiful. And okay. I believe once I'm ranked above MVP, right?
Maybe. Yes.
If you beat Vicente, you'll take number 11, I'm sure.
So I'm sure MVP gonna be trying to see somebody. Yeah.
What did you think about him? What did you think about his debut?
Oh, man, he had me teasing, seeing that ass whooping he gave Kevin Holland when I was smiling.
You liked it?
I said, oh, get him. I said, get him, MVP. But no, it was cool, man. You know, they put on a good show. But I like MVP. I like his swagger. I like what he brings to the cage, you know. And that's a fight that I actually wanted when I was in Bellator a long time ago, right? Long time ago in Bellator, you know, so just seeing how things work out and the dynamic of the game, I believe that we can put on a great match, you know, for the UFC.
I think you're right. And it was interesting to see that fight with Kevin, because Kevin never seems to get flustered. He doesn't show it. And to see him kind of getting to a point where a guy was doing something that he really was uncomfortable with, it was kind of, you must have really enjoyed that. It was kind of strange to see.
He got out Kevin, you know, definitely in that fight with the showboating. But that's all part of the game. And, you know, this is what we do, and it comes with the territory, you know. So sometimes you're able to, you know, put on a show. Sometimes, you know, matter of fact, hold on. Like, sometimes you're able to put on the content, and sometimes you're the content, you know. In other words, right? Yeah.
Hey, Joaquin, when you're not training and you're not doing spinning kicks to people's heads, what are you doing? Give us a hobby that you're doing, whether it's you're reading a book, listening to an audio book, you're streaming something. Give us something you're doing when you're not training to murder people.
I ain't going to lie to you. That's all I like to do is train. Be honest with you, I train a lot. People don't know how much I train. I train every single day, and not just every single day, but throughout the day, you know. In the morning, afternoon, and at night. But hobbies to make me feel like a human being. And, we Netflix and binge, you know, we watch a little bit of Hulu and, you know, we be on the YouTube. But other than that, this is what I devoted my life to with this training. So I don't like to be just that boring guy, but I guess I am, you know. I love mixed martial arts, you know. This is what
I heard that Shogun movie, that show is good. I'm thinking about watching it.
I haven't checked it out, but it's on Hulu though, right? Or FX?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah,
I heard the subtitles, and I got a little.
Yeah. Oh, those are the best ones with the subtitles, bro.
I like with subtitles that I felt you didn't really feel it, and I felt was an amazing, amazing movie was City of God.
I know exactly.
You haven't seen City of God? That movie. Every time I watch it, I felt like I watched a different thing from it. It was so well acted.
Zed, right? Little Zed, I think. Job.
Yeah, man.
What was the bad kid name? Zeke?
Little Z, right? Little Z.
Yeah. It was Z or Zed?
Zed. I'm wrong. But it was a real movie based on real shit. And I'm asking Enzo about it. Enzo's like, man. And at the end of the movie, they show like the real people and all that. Yep. I'm like, wow, man. They did a good job of that.
Yeah. No, that's actually a great flick. Yeah.
A great movie to watch with subtitles. Apocalypto. Has either one of you guys seen Apocalypto?
That's a good one too.
I haven't seen Apocalypto.
That's Mel Gibson's movie.
A great movie. Subtitle.
Why they got subtitles for?
I think they're playing. They're Mayans. They're speaking.
The one that he directed. This is the movie that he directed, right?
He directed. Yeah. He's one of the two he directed, or one of the three. Yeah. And they're warriors chasing one guy. It's really a masterpiece.
Now this is the crazy part. It's only one movie I watched, and I did not watch it with the subtitles, but I watched it all the way through. So I didn't understand a word they were saying. But this movie called Train to Busan. It's a Korean movie, right? Oh. And it's filled with zombies. So these zombies are on this train this whole time, but it's action packed. But I didn't have no subtitles, and I pretty much was listening to it in Korean the whole time. But shit, it kept my attention. So that was a badass movie, though.
Oh shit!
Did you choose no subtitles, or they just weren't available?
No, it just weren't available. Yeah. It was a little Tubi special. Yeah, a little Tubi special. Okay.
But look, Joaquin, we're glad we got you. We didn't think we were going to get you today because there was a scheduling mishap. But we're really happy you came in. Yeah, we're happy you came.
Good to see you, man. Happy
co-main event. Well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's what I love.
Let's promote this. It's this Saturday in AC, 7 p.m., and the main card starts at 10 o'clock. Of course, Ferro against Blanchfield, and you and Vicente is an amazing co-main event. Three rounds?
Just the three rounds. I was three excited rounds, okay. for that five, but that three, we're going to have to get it done.
Early. Okay, good.
Done.
Well, we're looking forward to it, man. Congratulations. And
hey, Master, can I get a little prediction on what you think going to happen?
Hey, how about this? How about this? This is what I'm going to say to you, because we already made predictions. I'm not going to talk about anything. I'm just talking about my prediction.
Yeah.
Second round stoppage. That's what I said for you to win. That's what I said. You can
say that.
I wouldn't lie to you. I wouldn't lie to you, Joaquin. You know what I mean? So, hey, man, I'm not putting pressure on you. There's enough pressure.
Nah, not at all. Yeah.
I think you're going to do phenomenal, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's one love. Let's get that done.
All right. Have a great fight. Good talking to you, Joaquin.
Appreciate you.
Take care, bro.
Take care, pal.
Hey, man. Hey, Jimmy, you noticed.
I'm glad we got him.
Hey, you noticed I matured a lot.
Yes.
Because I was going to say, well, listen, I'm glad you brought up predictions.
I would tell a guy, I wouldn't want to do it before. If I picked Luque by decision, but it was out of respect for Joaquin's power. I think Luque is a smart enough guy to stay away. But I wouldn't want to say that to a fighter before he fights. Like I just, I don't want to be a dick and put anything negative in a guy's head. But afterwards, I would tell somebody if I pick somebody else. Who cares?
I'm saying, thank God I picked him. Because I was almost on the fence because I like Vicente too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going with Buckley. I think that to hurt somebody, you got to be there to get hurt. And this guy is so powerful.
Yeah.
He's taking advantage of it. But, hey, that was a close. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. He didn't ask me. So technically, I didn't lie.
I didn't expect him to call me out like that. Yeah. But I'm glad I picked him to win. And that's great. Jimmy, what do you want to promote, my little buddy?
Tonight at 7 p.m., I will be at the Fat Black Pussycat in the city. I have a bunch of dates in Saratoga Springs, Annapolis, Maryland, bunch of gigs. And my wife and I have a new podcast episode up on Nikki and Jim NYC. The Sword Fight is the podcast. And the and the guest is the great Zach Amico, a really, really hilarious comic. So go and watch it. We hope you like it.
Jimmy, 7:30, I'll be at Sarah BJJ teaching the 40 and over class.
What? Oh, good.
That's not a worthy of my time.
I respect that you do it.
I like to make good people dangerous. It's a worthy profession.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to you coming to the city. I would love that. I really would.
Thank you.
Maybe we could do it the next week. I would like. Let's just try and do it next week if you can.
Let's do it next week. Tuesdays and Thursdays are the best for me.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll try to switch next week and do Jamie on a different day.
Tuesday or Thursday, you let me. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm going to Texas next week. The week after, let's do it.
The week after, we'll do it. Yeah, on a Tuesday or a Thursday will be perfect.
Jimmy.
Have fun on Rogan. Have a safe trip.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. We could be heroes, me and you. All right, Jimmy, I just want to leave you with that.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. You didn't need that.
I did not, no. Have a safe trip. I'll talk to you Monday, buddy.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.